Don't let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God and trust also in me. What a simple but profound word Jesus left us in John chapter 14, verse 1. And I want to meditate through this devotional today on something very simple. What is it that fills you with anguish? What is anguish? Anguish is an emotion, a feeling, a thought that leads us to a condition and therefore an unpleasant behavior that can affect the way we reason, feel, act, see life, and can distort God's plan in your life, and what God has been telling you makes you doubt. That is, it leads you to the point of distrusting and forgetting who you depend on. That can make it more difficult when you keep anguish in your heart. It can be more difficult to face life situations. Anguish is a fear of the future, a fear that something will happen. It is a fear that paralyzes. It is a fear of something current or perhaps something that happens that can be a reality and can move you out of focus. That is anguish. It affects your life. It affects your emotions. It tries to rule in your mind, bringing sadness, hopelessness, worry, fatigue, discouragement. Look at everything that emerges from the anguish. It all started with a thought that tried to rule your mind, and what rules your mind will rule your whole body. That is important. So that's why Jesus begins by talking to his disciples, because they were a little worried, trying to solve the future of what is to come and meditating on that. Jesus surprises them and begins to tell them, "Do not let the anguish fill your hearts." And this is a great advice. Do not let. That means that I can choose whether I am anguished or not. We cannot say, "I am anguished." The question is, at what point did you open the door to stop occupying the position you have in God of trust and choose anguish as the place where you are going to take a refuge? There is only one unsafe refuge, and it is Christ Himself. But anguish, my dear friends, is a bad refuge. It is a bad choice that perhaps you are making today. Maybe you could say to me, "Pastor, but you don't know the situation I'm going through, and I feel distressed because I don't know what will come." Perhaps the doctor told you that you have only a few days to live, and news like that can be a valid argument so that you can say, "Tremendous anguish, I choose. I don't know what the Lord can do." So we move from place to place and open the door. Then we make anguish our guest, so that it can tell us what to do. Unfortunately, it is not the correct solution, because anguish can lead you to make wrong decisions, to make you spend what you should save, to take care of something prematurely, to make you to quit without even having reached the goal, to make you giving up without resting in the Lord, to make you stop enjoying the days the Lord gives you, because every day you open your eyes is a new hope and an opportunity to understand that in the middle of everything there is a plan. The anguish can make you blind and does not let you see God's plan. That is why Jesus said that he knew what the disciples were going through. He knew that the moment was coming when they felt stressed, and there was a reality. There was persecution. Jesus was going to die, and what will happen to them? Perhaps today you may be living so many things, and you are thinking, you are facing an economic situation that could lead you to bankruptcy. Could lead you means that you are not there, but you are thinking about that. A disease, a marriage problem, something that you consider that it's over, and many more things you can add. Jesus said, "Don't let." In the end, God gave us free will. Just as we choose to have Him ruling our life, we can choose wrongly and let certain situations rule us and not God. Now, what strikes me was that the ones who were listening to Him were His disciples, the ones who ate with Him, the ones who saw Him perform miracles. They were getting distressed. Now, is it wrong to be anguished, Pastor? I believe that it is part of life. The problem is that you can take refuge in anguish, or by faith you can trust instead of anguish, because that is the key. So, how do I overcome the anguish? Jesus said, "Do not anguish, trust." The way to overcome anguish is by trusting. Now, but how do I practice it? How do I experience it? How do I make it a reality in my life? How can I rest in the middle of this crisis or this situation that comes up to me? Jesus said, "Trust," but let's complete the phrase. Trust in whom? Because, among other things, trust is to convince ourselves of the security we have in the one in whom we rest, or in what we rest. In this case, Jesus said, "Trust me too. Trust God and trust in myself." Note that Jesus did not say, "Trust that everything will be fine." It sounds nice, but it is going to be fine. And the one who is going to produce that depends on who you depend on. Jesus did not say, "Trust your bank accounts. Calm, the money solves everything." No. Trust the family, because the family will always be there. But that is not right either. Because you can trust the family, but if you place your trust there, if you depend only on your family, when they fail you, then everything will break down. Jesus nor did say, "Calm down, trust that things are going to change." And what if they don't change? That's what the world offers you. But what did Jesus say? Understand, don't let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God and trust also in me. That pleases me a lot, because it says, "Do not let anguish rule your heart." There is a very beautiful text in the Bible. It is a wonderful advice for all time that says, "Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it spring the issues of life." In the New Living Translation Biblical Version, it says something like this: Guard your heart above all else, for it determines the course of your life, your direction, your path, the focus you have in life. If anguish rules your heart, you can lose your way, and you may be blinding yourself to the possibility or God's plan, that in the middle of that situation, He wants to manifest Himself and do supernatural and wonderful things with you. But in the end, I am the one who takes the decision. "Do not let," Jesus said. Do not let. Even if it happens, what do you open the door of your heart to? Do not let. But it is difficult, Pastor. In front of what I am living, in front of what you are living, the question is, what are you going to let rule you? In what are you going to take refuge? Will you take the refuge of anguish? No, then choose in whom you are going to trust. Because, remember, the only way to overcome anguish is by trusting, and by trusting in the one that can do everything, by trusting in God, in Jesus. That's what Jesus said, "Don't let your hearts be troubled. Trust," and He ends with, "Trust in God and trust also in me." Now, Jesus didn't say, "Listen to me well." Jesus did not say, "Don't let your hearts be troubled, trust in God and trust also in me," because we confuse believing with trust, and there is a mistake, because trust leads you to rest. It puts peace in your heart, and it gives you peace of mind in the face of everything that is surrounding you that seems complicated. But believe not. I can't believe that God exists, but from believing to trusting, there is a long way, my beloved friend. Many may believe in God, but trust. Trust only manifests itself when through time and space I know trust is determined by how well I know him. Today, many are going through complicated situations and it is difficult for them to trust. It is not difficult for them to believe. Listen to me well. It is not difficult for them to believe. They know that there is a God, but on the road of life, they doubt. Sometimes they pray and think that God is listening to us and they are moved by emotions and not by faith. Because among other things, we think that faith should give us stability. Because in the end, we are going to get what we want. And faith is not about believing. Faith is about fidelity, obedience, and trust. That is faith. That is true faith. I can believe in God, but how much do I trust God? That is the real question. And now, trust is built with knowledge. The more I know God, it is not knowing about God. Because you can have the story of Jesus engraved in your head, but you have never experienced the Jesus of that story. You know about God, but you don't know God. I must get to that point of knowing Him, so that I can experience true trust, because the more I know God, the more He reveals to me what He is. For example, when He tells me, I am Jehovah Rapha, that means I am your healer. He tells me that because I live my experience of giving him the disease that was plaguing my life and letting him to show me the way to be healed. So I already heard a story from God, but now I am meeting the God of that story that is impacting my life. I am going through the experience, and to get to know him, you have to dedicate time to him. I see many people doubting and letting themselves fill with mistrust because they begin to anguish and worry, totally contrary to what Jesus was telling us we should do, and they congregate. They spend years in the gospel, years saying, I believe and love God, but they are years of struggles, trials, difficulties, and remember, I am not telling you that they will not come. Of course they will, but it must not be the daily bread. 10 years that you have known God and 10 years that you have never found rest? I ask you, are we getting to know the true God? Do we receive the true gospel? The real good news. How much do we know God? Or what is the story of God that we have received since childhood? That's a good question, and that's a good point, because the ignorance of the truth will give us mistrust. Why don't we trust? Because we do not know. I do not know you. How I am going to trust you if I do not know you? That's a good point, right? Then if you do not congregate, if you do not read the Bible, if you do not pray, if in 7 days a week, only 1 hour a week, you take a moment to talk with God, if you spend more time reading WhatsApp, Facebook, Twitter, and lending your senses, more to receive all that bad news from the environment instead of focusing on God's promise through His Word and meditate on it day and night, how much do you think you will know God? Are you going to meet God through Facebook? My beloved friend, God does not have a wall on Facebook. God does not have a profile that you can visit on Facebook and spend the whole night there investigating who He is. If we do not read the Bible, there He expresses His life to us. His advice is what is going to nourish us. That is our manual. And if we do not grow in that relationship with Him, then all the time we will be struggling with anguish, because the less we know Him, the more distressful we will be. Today, I invite you to meditate on that. Jesus said, "Don't let your hearts be troubled. Trust." But trust is built in a relationship in which we know Him, in which we dedicate time and space for Him. Do not just stay with, yes, I believe, because it is not enough. You have to trust. Father, thank you for this word. I pray to you, Lord, in the name of Jesus, and I only ask you that it can be well understood, truly received, and that this word may be the instrument, Lord, that helps us to move forward in your plan and in your purpose. No matter what we hear around us, that we can understand what it is to trust and to rest in you. We need you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. This was a translation over the daily devotional delivered by your pastor and friend, Elias Hoyos. Remember that God always arrives just in time. I invite you to subscribe to our YouTube channel. Click on subscribe to Devocionales Justo a Tiempo. Also, if you want a devotional, you can download for free our devotionals app, Justo a Tiempo. You can download it on Android, iPad, or on your iPhone. And finally, if you have social networks on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, or TikTok, you will find me as Pastor Elias HC. I send you a big hug. Blessings.